I'd like to say good morning and welcome to everyone here and the ones that are on Zoom. And I'd like to thank Gail for giving me this opportunity to just to bring forth a lesson this morning. And we know how well he does in bringing us teachings, giving us the encouragement we need, showing us the love of God and the will of God within the scriptures. And we're so grateful for that. Now that he's had to be absent for some time, and he's given that responsibility to some of the men, and the men have done very well in bringing forth the word of God and encouraging us. And I'm going to give forth an effort too to bring forth some things that that we can look at, and it's going to be things that we know already, just going over some of the things, and it's going to be even some of the things that we have learned over there in Genesis. And just being so thankful for the life that we have in Christ. And as we sing these songs, just the beautifulness of what it is that God has promised us. And we seek to be those that would cherish that and to hold on to what it is that we have and to seek to live our lives in such a way that we would serve Christ as we are his servants. But as Jay read this morning, we also we're his friends. And that's amazing that we can just the consideration of our thought that we are, that we can be, we are friends of God, and friends with one another. And that's wonderful to see the friendship, that different ones share. Friends share things in common, right? And we all have in common, this love of God. We have the word of God. We have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and that it makes us family. We're brothers and sisters, but also friends. And it's great when you see that when you can see brothers and sisters, and they're also friends, because that's not always the case. And so, with the friendship that we have, some of us we share things in common that others don't. There's families with young children. We know that there's going to be a close friendship there because of the sharing of the raising of those children and things that they're going through. Some of us who have ailments, you know, there's a sharing that we have in that, and that we disclose some of the things to one another that we're going through, and maybe give some advice. And sometimes those things that we share, we don't necessarily share with others. But you know, it just brings forth a friendship. And the thing is that the friendship that we have with God, though, is it's such a wonderful thing. And as was read in the scriptures this morning, you know, love is what brings that about. The more we love God, the more it is that we are able to share in that friendship with him, because we know that he loves us and he's willing to provide us all that we need. But we are striving to love him more. We're striving to become better friends. You know, when I started studying on this lesson of friendship, I came across the fact that Friday, July 30th is International Friendship Day. And United Nations, International Friendship Day. And so they want to make it where, you know, there's friendship among the different nations. And that's good, you know, so that if there's friendship, then there won't be war. But the thing is that they're no friends of God. And they the thing that they're trying to bring about tries to push God out of it, and it's humanistic. And they try to come up with solutions to the problems of mankind. But we know that we are to turn to God, and we are to seek to lead others to God's way of doing things. If we become friends and make friends with them, they want us to turn away from God. But we are seeking to be those that, yes, we want to turn and become closer, have closer relationships with God, not to be those that would look to solutions from men. And so I'm going to turn over there to that scripture that was read this morning in John, just to look at a few things there, John chapter 15. And he relates to how, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And that fullness of joy is going to be in our relationship with him as we adhere to what it is that he gives us in commands. But why does he give us commands? Because he's the master and we're the servants? No, because he's trying to bless us. As we keep those commands, It's blessings to us. It's joy to us. And this joy we experience in a deeper and deeper state as our friendship with him grows. And we've been studying how that Abraham, you know, is a friend of God. You know, it relates to the faith that he had in God and the relationship that they developed together as he obeyed God. He was called a friend of God. Isaiah chapter 41:8, it tells us that God says himself, Abraham, my friend. And so a friendship means that there's a sharing of something in common, as I mentioned. And it's amazing that Abraham could not have realized, you know, what he was really sharing with God, and as he obeyed and did the things that God told him to do. But just in the fact that he offered his only son, he didn't realize as far as that the friendship and the sharing that he had, because God was going to offer his only son. And so something that Abraham couldn't see then is something as far as that for eternity, he's going to have an assurance with God that they both were willing to give their only sons. God gave it for us. Abraham did it for God. And so in this relationship, we can't forget the fact as far as that it's rooted in faithfulness. It's rooted in obedience to God. And if we look in Genesis chapter 26, and this is a verse that we've looked at several times when we've been studying in the book of Genesis. But it's 26:5, and I read 4 and 5. As he speaks to Isaac, he gives him the promises, I will make you, your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give you the descendants of all the lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And so we see as far as, you know, that as we would be obedient and as we would increase in that, because none of us are perfect, but we're striving toward that, we have the joy that as we are striving for this, that, you know, Christ helps us along and gives us grace so that we may continue to be those as far as that are his friends. Some of the attributes that's necessary for friendship is I looked at, and these are not all, but these are some things, and I'm not going to go through all of these as far as it'll take some hours to look at these things, but trustworthiness is one of the things. A willingness to sacrifice, and that we saw in Abraham, the friend of God, that we saw in our friend Jesus. He was willing to sacrifice. God was willing to sacrifice his son for us. Again, sharing and things in common. Being loyal, honesty, being dependable, and having empathy. These are the things, and there's a connection with all of them in being a good friend, having that friendship. You know, and looking at the first one as far as being trustworthy, that's something as far as, you know, as we are going to be friends. If we would have friends, as the scriptures say, then a man must show himself, a woman must show themselves to be friendly. And showing a friendliness is going to be in having all these attributes working in our relationships. And one of the things that I, as I think about, you know, in friendship and having someone who is close, and friends have a certain trust in each other. Our trust in God is faith, and we know that he would do. Trust in a friend is that we believe or hope that they will, but we know that we being finite creatures, we fail. And so we can't put all our trust in our earthly friend or even our spiritual friends. All our trust is not, but all our trust is in God. But as friends, and we do want to be those that are trustworthy, and so we strive toward that, being those that would do what it is that we'd say, and being those as far as that ones can have confidence in. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 25, in verse 19, it says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. And so you can imagine that as far as you ever had your ankle twisted or something, and you're trying to walk, and you can't do very good, or you had a toothache. And those things are horrible. I remember having one at one time, and I just could not get any relief. You know, I tried to sit down That didn't work. I tried to lay down that, I stand up, and so I was like back and forth. And so me, you know, just to think as far as of being an untrusted individual, you know, that my friends couldn't trust me, you know, to do what it is that I would say, or if they needed help in a time of need, that I would say that I would be there, but wouldn't be there. And hopefully as far as that, we all would have this as far as that. We want to be those that are trustworthy. And so there may be things in our life, in our character, that we would, may need to change in order to become those that are trustworthy. There may be things in our actions, our speech, whatever it would be, that we would bring about change so that we can be looked to as being trustworthy and to function as a true friend, as a faithful friend, as one that confidence can be put in, rather than I'm not so sure, you know, about Will, if I can, you know, trust him to do these particular things that that perhaps I need. A friend, as I said, you know, is one that shows empathy. Proverbs 17:17, it tells that a friend loves at all times, at all times. And so friendship is not based upon if the person is doing for me all the time, but friendship is based on what it is that I can do for my friend. And so if a friend is not does not follow through like I might think in a friendship, or they fail, or there's something that's not quite right with them or with our friendship, they're going through some type of adversity, they're suffering through something, maybe it's something as far as that I dislike, am I still going to have the love for them? Friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, I once thought this about this as being as far as, you know, a brother, a sister is going to be an adversary. But as I study it more, it seems that it's speaking about the fact that when there's adversity, that's when it is as far as that you can see who your true friend is. One who really comes to your care, to your comfort, to your needs. And of course, Jesus is always that friend. He tells us that he will never forsake us and never leave us. He will always be there. And that's the character that we want to strive to have within ourselves, a friend who's loving at all times. And so we may recognize times when it is that we failed, we sinned, we were not as we should have been, but Jesus was still there. He's still there to help us and to lift us up out of that and to build us up. And it's because he's such a good friend, and we want to strive to be that type of friend. The type of friend that, as Scripture says in Proverbs 18:24, that sticks closer than a brother. And we see the situation we've been studying with Jacob and Esau. You know, they were not very good friends. They were different. And I think about even my own situation with my mom had four children. Me and a year and a half later, I had a sister. And then as me and her were grown, my mother had two other kids, two boys. And so it was me and my sister. And we were just totally different. I'm more like Jacob, a peaceful, loving man and, you know, and quiet. I was very shy. My sister was just so outgoing. She talkative. You know, and she took things differently than I did. And I can remember being very young and being around people and my grandfather who raised us from my age, about 3 to 10. And, you know, he would introduce us to people and he would, I remember him saying, she seems more like the boy and he's more like the girl. And that's something as far as you don't like to hear if you are. But I understand now what he spoke about. It was just our characters, but just so different. And maybe, you know, I wasn't so much approved of him in my character. But I believe that it was one that ultimately God approved of. You know, they taught us things. And one of the things they taught us is not get involved in fights, never to propagate someone to fight, never to start any fights. But they did tell us, you know, if something happens, then someone else starts it, you finish it. And so what I understood from that was that if someone attacked me, then I could defend myself. My sister took it as if somebody looked at her the wrong way. That's all it took. And so, you know, to her, I was a wimp. And so we grew up like that. And even then, she was at my home. She died just a couple years ago, but she was at my home just not too long before that. And she would tell us stories of me and her and what I did or didn't do and what she did or had to do for me and had to help me. And the kids would say, like, Dad, she is, like, saying, you must have went. But she don't quite remember the stories the way that I did. So we were family, but we were, as far as our friendship, she was just so mean. Tell me about she would go to school and she would take a switch and whip the kids with her. I mean, she was really mean. I can remember having to leave school when we lived in New York City and go across all the way across town, different borough, and pick her up from school because she's fighting. And so because of that, yeah, we were sister and brother, and there was a certain closeness, but there was such a difference that, you know, that real close bond couldn't be there because we thought so differently. And so, yeah, she was more like a Esau, I think. But there's a friend that can stick closer to than a brother or sister, closer than family. And I know with us being in Christ and being spiritual, that we can perhaps see things like that, especially myself, as far as, and I know that most of you grew up in a church, and so you're brothers and sisters are most likely Christians. And so there's a closeness and sharing that's there. And that's wonderful. And it's good to see that, again, as far as in a family where it is that siblings can have something as far as that they can really share and touch each other's lives, touch each other's hearts with. And Jesus is such a friend that no matter what type of character we have, he can help us develop that into the character that's more like his. And so as we go through life and as we go through the things that we suffer, we can look to him. Because the scriptures tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, and reading there in verse 14, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So what does that mean? That means if we're tempted and we sin, he was tempted and didn't sin, so he can cover for us. And that's the friendship that he provides for us. He can cover for us. You know, and isn't it wonderful to have a close friend? And you may have someone, you know, whether it's a brother, or it could be someone in the world that you have a certain friendship with because of other things that you may have in common, and that they can cover for you. Whether it's at work, you know, and you can't make it, but the work really needs to be done, and you got somebody that, yeah, I'll do it. You know, I'll be there for you. And that's a wonderful thing. And, you know, we are to be so thankful that Jesus, he covers for us. We failed. There's no way we could have been friends with God. It's only through him. It's only because he covered for us and that he didn't sin, but yet he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins so that our sins are covered. I think the greatest obstacle to friendship is selfishness, is self. Because how can we be a good friend if it is that we're only thinking of ourselves and what our needs are and what we want and how we want things? And so if you have a friendship with someone and that you see that the way that it begins to be, that friendship is not going to last very long. We'll not be able to show ourselves friendly if it is that we're looking for what it is that we can gain for ourselves. Friendship is sacrifice. It's giving. It's sharing. It's helping. It's being willing to lose self. And that's something that we've got to continue to do as we serve God and are becoming more and more the friend of God in Christ. We're losing ourselves and giving ourselves totally over to Him. And we can say that's easy, but no. In reality, if we examine ourselves and examine our lives, we'll find that there are some difficult areas that we may have in totally surrendering ourselves. And that's what the requirement is. And He is He's willing to walk with us through this, though, as we strive to make those changes and to give up those things. And as we are able to share this with one another. In Philippians in chapter 2 that we are all familiar with, but I'd like to read it again to bring it to our remembrance. The mind that we're to have that's in Christ. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Philippians 2, 1 through 5. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, of course there is. There's great consolation in Christ. And that's what we recognize. So if there is, and there is, if any comfort of love, such a comfort to know that we have such a Savior. If any fellowship of the Spirit, and that's got to be there. I can remember asking a person who was practicing Christianity for a number of years and saw some things that were contrary to Christ's likeness. And I asked them about their relationship with Christ, and they couldn't really get the concept of actually having a relationship with God and Christ. That was like something that was foreign to them. We're in Christ, or else we're reprobate. So if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, and we know that there's so much affection and mercy there with our God and with Christ. That being so, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Striving to have that same mind, to be ones who would give consolation, to give comfort of love, to give affection and mercy. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Let each look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Being a friend is having this type of mind, being a good friend. Oh, we can say we're a friend, but being a good friend. We say that we are friends of God and Christ. Well, how good a friend are we? And it's when it is that we exercise these things in our life, is when it is that we show real friendship. Over in Proverbs in chapter 27, you know, a friend is someone. And sometimes we might like to have a friend as far as who would cover our faults. Our faults can be covered by, like Christ covers us, or by being one who would have empathy with us and understanding us and the things that we go through. But a good friend will call you out when necessary. They just won't cover you like and just let things go. A good friend wants you to be the best that you can be. And so there's a time when it is that we have to say things that might be hurtful in a way as far as to the flesh, to the heart. We might let them know that this is not right. You didn't, you know, what you said there wasn't good, or what you did, you know, that wasn't right. A real friend would do that. And if you're a friend, you'll accept that advice because you'd be wiser in the end. But in Proverbs 27 in verses 5 and 6, it says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Love carefully concealed is when we say that we love, but our actions don't really show that there's real love. Because we may not speak up and do or say the things that need to be done. Open rebuke, he says, is better than having a love that's useless because it doesn't do what needs to be done. And so in friendship, we will call each other out and show faults. In faithfulness, in love, in kindness, in not just blurting something out, but just having a mind and taking some thought in that this is what my friend needs. And so I'm going to let them know. I'm not going to allow that they go on thinking that this is okay. It's all right to be that way or to say that thing or to act like this. And that's faithfulness. But the kisses of an enemy, they're deceitful. We have an example of this, of course, within the scriptures. Mark in chapter 8:31, Peter rebukes Jesus, his friend. He calls him aside. Yeah, after Jesus is telling, he's saying that Jesus is letting him know that, hey, look, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. You know, the elders there are going to take me and they're going to accuse me. I'm going to be given into the hands of the Gentiles and I'm going to be killed. And so Peter hears that. And he took Jesus and pulls him aside. And like, Lord, this is not going to be, but there's no way, this is not going to happen to you. Then, of course, Jesus turns around and rebukes him. Get you behind me, Satan, because you are savoring the things of man rather than the things of God. And Jesus looks to the other 12. And he knows that this thing that Peter is going to have an effect on the others. He's got to rebuke. He rebukes Peter. And so Peter, yeah, Jesus is his friend and he takes him, but he's wrong because he's not thinking the way that God thinks. And so whenever it is as far as that we want to bring something to something, we got to make sure as far as that we're thinking right in the way that it is that God would judge rather than just thinking of Jesus and his flesh and not wanting him to suffer. No, but we think as good friends, spiritual friends, we're thinking more of the spiritual man than just the fleshly man. And so our bringing things to our friends is going to be based on what is good and right with God. Galatians in chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, we see there that Paul talks about how it is that he had to bring some things to Peter. And I'm going to go over there and turn to it and read it. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Having this type of fear, it doesn't bring about a good friendship with God or man. It's man-pleasing. The rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? And so he brought it to his attention that what he was doing was against the truth of the gospel. We know that Peter was a good man. We know that he was a faithful servant chosen by Jesus. But he had a little something there that affected him. And as he was affected, then others were affected as well. They just were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. And it was brought to their attention because Paul was a friend of God and a friend of all these that were there. And so he related it because of his friendship that he had. Bad company in 1 Corinthians 15:33 corrupts good character. And this is not a relation to Peter. They were all in good company. It's just that they strayed off a bit. But there are people in the world that we just can't have friendship with. And when we recognize that, we have to avoid. Else they corrupt our good character that we're learning in Christ. Being in the construction field is something I have to be aware of all the time because of the attitudes of the people that I'm come in contact with all the time. And, you know, I have to have my mind set that, you know, I don't want my character changed by these people. And so there's just little things, little checks that we have to check where it is that, because we can see when we begin to slip a little bit. When it is as far as that, we maybe, you know, someone says something and we kind of join in with a laugh and that makes us become it's like drawing us in to be a part of that. Or when it is that something as far as that, you know, that things are being discussed and then I say something that just a little bit, off and I have to recognize and draw myself as far as, because I don't want to be corrupted. Can't be a good friend of, God and of Christ if I allow myself to be corrupted in that way. So we recognize in James 4, in verse 4, he says, adulterers and adulterers, just, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. And so we have to watch and be careful of those friendships that the world has, that the world brings about, that people try to draw us into their confidence, but they're not godly. And if we're not careful as far as they will corrupt and deceive us. In 1 John in chapter 2, verses 15, very familiar scripture, where it tells us, it says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And this world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. If you keep my commandments, then you're my friends. If we love the world, we don't want to end up passing away in the desires of the world. These things are going to pass away. But there still are a desire, even as we leave this life, the ones that leave it without God still have a desire for the pleasure and the comfort of this life, but will not be able to obtain it. And so if you're able to recognize that you haven't formed a relationship with God because you haven't obeyed what he commands to be done to form that relationship, you're not a friend of God, but you can be if you do what he commands. That's all that's necessary, to do what he commands, and you can become his friend, his very dear and close friend. Well, he's willing to share all of eternity with you, all the pleasures of heaven with you. And that's a wonderful thing when you think about it. That's something as far as that is very drawing when you think about that. We live in his flesh and we grow old and we die. But then we have this promise that we can have eternal life with God if we do what he commands. We can become his friend. Think about in Luke 16 and 19, it gives us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This man, he lived in pleasure. He had everything that he wanted in life. And surely all of us have goals of life of what we'd like our life to be. Well, he had it. He had accomplished it. But he had this man that was sick and just willing to eat the crumbs that fell from this rich man's table. And I imagine that wasn't a pleasurable sight for this rich man to see this one. He's just, and may have been looked down on. You know, he's just eating the crumbs, and he's just the dogs are there licking his sores, and but he didn't do anything to help him. We might think that he wouldn't have desired the friendship of a person like this, but after he died, he did, didn't he? He longed for the friendship of Lazarus. As he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, the friend of God, he saw Lazarus there with him. And he desired of Abraham to just send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in anguish in these flames. But no, it's too late. There comes a time when it's too late to become a friend of God. And so as we have opportunity, we ought to really take thought of what a wonderful thing it would be to be his friend. And come forth and obey what he says. And as he says in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, because that's what stands between the friendship of one who, between the friendship with God of one who is in the world, and it's just the sins, and he's willing to do and forgive you of those sins. He sent his son, he gave his son to die. What a friend. What one who is he who wants friendship and wants to bless you and wants to forgive you of those sins. Any of us that are in Christ, if we've committed sins, he wants to forgive us. All we have to do is acknowledge those sins. If we need prayer, you know, we can gain prayer of all the friends that we have here and even elsewhere, you know, to pray for us, to strengthen us. So as we have this closing song, and as you consider what you need to do, if you need to obey the commandment of God, come forth. If you need prayers, come forward and grow in that friendship with God and our Savior Jesus Christ.